There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Are you in or are you out? The issues continue with Antonio Brown and his helmet. The disgruntled star MIA from Raiders practice on Sunday, but back for team meetings today. We've got the latest coming up. And ahead on NFL Live, Booger McFarland travels to Denver to talk with Von Miller. The prolific pass rusher offers his thoughts on his new quarterback. And in case you missed it, it's the best sights and sounds from week two of the preseason. Hello, everybody, and happy to have you with us on this summer Monday afternoon. Wendy Nix, Adam Schefter, Ryan Clark, and joining us today, Marcus Spears.
You know why, Wendy Nix?
Why?
Because it's LSU Tigers everywhere.
Look how big this desk
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is. Well, for Ryan, we need it very big.
I tried to tell y'all when we did the show about colleges, because y'all were talking about, oh, this college is better. Which college has the best commentators, though?
I just want y'all to give me a moment to just enjoy the fact that I'm sitting here on NFL Live in the studio.
Okay, like, take a minute.
I just need a minute. Can I breathe this in right quick, Wendy?
Take a minute.
Thank you.
Be present, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome anytime.
To be in the presence of one Wendy Nix.
Yes.
Wendy Nix. An honor not bestowed on many.
Bucket list item, I'm sure. All right, listen. Unfortunately, we're going to start with a few issues, but that's how it goes these days. We'll start with Antonio Brown. Important to note that while he did miss practice on Sunday, because he could not use his helmet of choice, he was back at a team meeting as they broke camp today. However, it was his absence on Sunday that prompted a swift and rather direct response from Oakland GM Mike Mayock.
So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out.
We've been working on it for 6 months. We started working on this with the Raiders, the NFL, the NFLPA, all the way back in March. We've been talking to helmet companies, trying to get things straightened out, trying to find a helmet that would work, trying to get his helmet approved, trying on different helmets. Antonio's worn probably 15 different helmets to find something similar to what he currently has. We've been unable to do that, but we're going to continue to work. He wore this helmet, Pee Wee football, high school football, college at Central Michigan, and he also wore this helmet his nine-year career. People keep saying to me there are 2,000 players that are wearing approved helmets, but there are very few, if any, that have worn the same helmet their entire nine-year career.
Well, helmet notwithstanding, here's where we will start with Overreaction Monday. It is time for Antonio Brown to be all in. Ryan Clark.
This is an overreaction.
It is an overreaction.
Yeah. Oh. You know why? Right. Because the Raiders aren't even all in on him being all in. Mike Mayock goes to the media without being summoned, right? This wasn't set up for Mike Mayock to talk to the media at that time. And he says it's time for him to be all in or all out. And we want to be great. And the other 89 guys are da-da-da-da-da. And we hope AB's ready for week one. So you know what that tells me? They aren't setting a hard line. They don't think that he needs to be there right now, today. There is no, hey, we got 5 days to come back in. There is no, if you don't come in today, there are consequences to follow. So this, to me, was a soft move. This was, let me posture for the media and act like I'm doing something special. And also, too, we're not even talking about where his feet are. Can he practice? Is he a guy who can be out there every day? And so this is a lot to do about nothing at this point when Mike Mayock gets in front of the media and says this.
It is definitely not an overreaction.
It's an overreaction.
Oh, I'm with you, my friend.
Here's the deal.
Wendy Nix, this is first day.
I know, but I got to tell you, Ryan, I don't think it's an overreaction.
Look at the investment, RC. Like, this is one of those situations where you have a team that's trying to rebuild the calculus of who they are. John Gruden thought Antonio Brown was that piece that he needed to instill the type of mentality he wanted on the football team. It's not on the field. AB's going to ball when he get back. It's the ancillary things. It's the Derek Carr relationship. It's the relationship that the young players, that they want to see what AB does in practice, how he works. Those are the things that Mike Mayock is talking about.
It is
a soft approach by Mayock, but it's not an overreaction. No doubt. There.
And on behalf of welcoming Marcus to the set, we're going to do what we'd like to do here, Marcus, and that is bring some factual information for Ryan.
Oh, Marcus, I want you to go first. This is Ladum Schefter.
This is Ladum.
The L is for literal. Okay? So everything he does is literal. I'm just letting you know.
So this is why it's not an overreaction to say that it's time for Antonio Brown to be in. Because yesterday, the Raiders general manager, Mike Mayock, gave him a verbal warning. And if he did not return or does not return or goes away again, then you know what happens? Let me read you a specific clause from his contract, which is standard operating procedure, kind of in all contracts, but this is from his contract. If at any time the player does not report to the club, does not practice or play with the club, leaves the club without prior written approval, it's suspended by the NFL. We go on and on for there. The player then, as a result, would be in default, and the skill injury and cap guarantee shall be null and void, and player shall only be eligible to earn his remaining stated paragraph 5 salary on a weekly non-guaranteed basis if player is on the club roster. In other words, he would be violating his contract. He would be in default. So if he's not
he's
there
already
now,
done that, Adam.
Right. But Mike Mayock warned him
fired
and said, you're either in or you're out. And if he doesn't show up, then he's out. And if he's out, then he's in default. And if he's in default, he loses the money. And if he loses the money, then he's got a problem. And that's why.
Shefty, he already bred it. He don't need the
guys,
NFL.
Guys, That was a lie. So here's my, I think, just away from the conversation of whether or not he needs to be all in and it's an overreaction. Marcus mentioned that you bring in Antonio Brown for some of the ancillary things, right? For some of the other things that you see outside of football. You don't want him for nothing outside of football, right? You can't. This is not a guy who has shown you can depend on him
I'm talking about from a football perspective. When you talk about young guys seeing what we've heard about him with his work ethic, the way he practices, how he plays the game. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't telling my son to look up to Antonio Brown.
Well,
I'm just talking about what he brings as a player when you talk about him getting ready and preparing to play the game.
And getting on the same page with a new quarterback.
Yes.
Obviously, to your point, he will be ready to play when he comes. But some of that timing and rhythm and reps that he's missed do matter at some point.
I think those matter at some point to some people. I believe there are some guys who need to be out there in the preseason who actually need those reps. I've watched Antonio Brown work, and we've watched him play for a decade. Now, this is a guy who can wake up, get out of his bed, and be very good at the wide receiver position. If you were watching Hard Knocks week one, he was out there one day, and he blues everybody that lined up in front of him. But that's not the question.
We know that. We know he can do that. But there's a message to the other 79 players or 89 players who are there.
Right. I understand that. And so even with that message, I don't believe that John Gruden, Mike Mayock, and the Oakland Raiders have sent the message that would resonate with me if I was in that locker room. Because all the things that you're saying that are in this contract, he's been in locker rooms before. He's been in meeting rooms. It could be that you can get a $10,000 fine, but they're going to have to say we will levy the fine. They're not levying the fines. They're not making this contract clause be something he sticks to.
But, Wendy, let's contextualize this a little bit. I agree with what Schefty is saying about what the other guys are seeing. When you bring Antonio Brown in, you told everybody, I don't give a damn about what took place in Pittsburgh. We want your production. And now what I was alluding to earlier is that you want young guys to see how the work needs to be
between
done.
Between the lines.
Him not being there. I'll never forget when I was with the Cowboys and I saw T.O. work, it made other young wide receivers better.
Right.
Because they say that is how you go about trying to be a Hall of Famer, even though we may not have that talent. That's the part that they're missing. And oh, by the way, Derek Carr ain't really settled to be the quarterback of the future either. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, Derek Carr has to have some frustration as well.
Well, I would think so. And AB, though, has only played 2 preseason games the last 3 years. So if history repeats itself, do not plan to see him until September 9th against the Denver Broncos. We continue now with our camp pass. As I mentioned before, the Eagles and Ravens holding a joint practice today. Sal Palantonio is there. And Sal, you're getting an up close and personal look at these quarterbacks. What do you see so far?
Hey, Wendy, yeah, the ESPN cameras, the only cameras allowed on the field during this joint practice. They're just doing some individual drills right now. We're focused on the Baltimore Ravens side of things. Obviously, we're focused on number 8, Lamar Jackson, the starting quarterback, the electric Lamar Jackson, and looked good so far in the preseason. They want him to take the next step, obviously, with new offensive coordinator Greg Roman. Lamar Jackson last year had more rushing attempts than he had completions, which is really tough to do in a passing league, and they want him to take the next step as a passer this season, so they're going to be focused on him a lot. Chuck Calhoun, my cameraman, is going to now see, there comes Marquise Brown into the picture, number 15, and Marquise has been back on the practice field. He has been in full pads. He has been doing some team drills, but today will be the first time that the electric wide receiver will be out there against the opposition, the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is a really important practice for both of these teams. Chuck, if I can just pan to the right a little bit, you can see the joint practice is just beginning to get underway. So the Ravens are on my left and the Eagles are all the way on the Patterson Avenue side here of the NovaCare facility down there on the right side. It's an important practice for both these teams because last year, the Eagles did not have a joint practice. The last time they did it, the only time they did it in the Doug Peterson era was 2017, and we know what happened there. Now, the Eagles have signed Josh McCown. Everybody knows that. It has solidified their quarterback room that became totally unstable because they lost two quarterbacks in successive weeks. And, Chuck, if you could just go all the way down to the side of the field where you see Carson Wentz warming up, and you can probably make out number 18, the veteran Josh McCown, who just picked up one of the footballs. So this is an important practice for both these teams. Why? Because Carson Wentz has not played at all in the preseason. And Doug Peterson has really put an emphasis on these practices to make sure that Carson Wentz gets an intense workout under controlled environment, because they want him to remain healthy for 16 games, and to be able to go up against the Baltimore Ravens defense, which was the only defense, remember, the Ravens defense last year was the only defense in the top 5 in the critical categories of scoring defense, defensive pass defense, rush defense, and total defense. So the Ravens defense is pretty good, despite some of the losses that they've had. And the Eagles want to see how Carson Wentz does, and of course, the Ravens want to see just how good Lamar Jackson does against Jim Schwartz and the diabolical brain that he brings to the practice on a joint practice like this. It's hot and it's humid, Wendy. I'm going to stop talking. It's like 110 degrees in the shade. It's unbelievable here.
And
we're in the concrete jungle of South Philadelphia, Wendy. It's rough. It's rough, I'm telling you.
You know, I would feel sorry for you, but that's your happy place, so you can just stay right there, Sal. I know you love it. We will start right where you did, though, and that is with Lamar Jackson. Marcus, since you haven't been with us, let me ask you what you saw last year and what you anticipate to be the step forward, or at least we hope so, for the young quarterback in year two.
Well, the obvious step for Wendy is his ability to operate from the pocket. When you think about the NFL, and having the ability to run shouldn't be looked at as a bad thing. I think a lot of people have this conversation with dual threat quarterbacks, and you want to try to make Lamar Jackson a guy he's not. Lamar Jackson is a moving quarterback. Outside of the pocket, a dynamic athlete, we always bring up the injury factor. Mm-hmm. But you can't take a guy away from who he is and expect him to be who he is on the football field. All you want to do is continue to instill confidence that he can operate and be very efficient from the pocket.
Yeah, I think that's the huge thing. But it's about accuracy, right? It's about the decision making. And if you are coaching Lamar Jackson, you want to see him improve on those things without taking away what makes him special. I agree with Marcus. We always get in this conversation about dual threat quarterbacks, and we want to make them a pocket passer. Why? You didn't draft him because yes. He was a pocket passer. Mm. He's not dynamic because of that. So this year, you want to see the accuracy improve, but you also want to see him do those things while using his legs and his athletic ability.
And I think sometimes quarterbacks get away from what they do well. They want to prove a point,
mm-hmm.
and they want to show I'm more than just some guy that runs around. I'm going to show you that I can beat you with my arm. And then sometimes he runs less. I've seen this.
No question.
Absolutely.
And as long as he just keeps doing what has got him to this point, this Baltimore Ravens offense will be fine. He'll be fine. Everything will work out.
How quickly did the Josh McCown situation come about, Shefty?
Well, actually, the truth of the matter is the Eagles have been talking to Josh McCown for weeks.
Okay.
Josh McCown had
mad at him because he was here last week and it was nice.
How you get out of the contract at ESPN? Do they have to buy you out?
I know, right? You can't go anywhere.
I can't go back.
It's pretty simple. If somebody, if a team offers you $5.4 million in incentives, with incentives to go play defensive
you
tackle,
bought out.
They'll let you out.
You're good.
Good.
Otherwise,
it'll take that per play, Wendy. As bad as I feel, it'll be per play.
I like it. Well, we're glad because we get to keep you. John Elway and the Broncos hoping that Joe Flacco finally stabilizes that quarterback position. Peyton Manning had the best record of any starting quarterback during his Broncos tenure, leading Denver to a pair of Super Bowl appearances. But the other six starters under Elway have combined for just one playoff berth, with none starting more than two seasons. Shefty, I'll start with you. What are the early returns? And I recognize they're quite early on Joe Flacco in Denver.
Listen, I think that people felt like this was the best the Broncos could do at this time to go out and get a veteran quarterback who won a Super Bowl, who's going to play in a Vic Fangio offense. Keep in mind, they brought in Mike Munchak, too, to help run the football, Rick Scangarello on offense. They've got the coaches in place. They've got the defense in place. And they feel like they've got a Super Bowl-winning quarterback in place who I think will stabilize this team and this offense for the short term. There's been a quarterback carousel going on in Denver. This is the most accomplished one they've had since Peyton Manning. I think that they think that that's going to work out.
Will he win in Denver?
Well, listen, Denver is set from a defensive standpoint. You have Philip Lindsay, who became a star after being undrafted out of the University of Colorado. So they have things in place. But this is truly about Joe Flacco. If we could see the Joe Flacco that led the Baltimore Ravens to a Super Bowl or something even similar, the big arm guy that used to push the ball down the field. You have Cortland Sutton. You have Emmanuel Sanders coming back. Can this be a guy that drives this offense? Because if you look at John Elway's tenure, there's only been one quarterback that's done or fared really well, and that was Peyton Manning. And even when they won the Super Bowl, it wasn't because of him. Joe Flacco has an opportunity to turn his career around and also the fate of the Denver Broncos around if he can return to some of that old Super Bowl form.
And to both of you guys' point, look, consistency is very valuable at the quarterback position. And I'm about to use a term that I hate when people use, but it makes sense in this regard. Play complementary football. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what Peyton Manning did. Peyton Manning didn't light the world on fire.
Well, Peyton Manning wasn't even complimenting people at that time.
Right? So, except for game one when I was with the Ravens, he threw six touchdowns on us.
Well, that was relatively complimentary.
We called out defense coordinator.
That was the year before the Super Bowl.
We called out DC Dean Pease and said, Dean, he knows all our calls. Dean said, what the hell you want me to do about it?
I love Dean,
my guy. But with that being said, Joe Flacco needs to just be a consistent quarterback, take care of the football, and his defense can carry him a long ways. Mm-hmm. Look, I know we highlight Von Miller and we talk about how successful he's been and rightfully so. But look for Bradley Chubb to have an impact. When we think about Denver's defense, when DeMarcus Ware signed with Denver, that is when Denver's defense went to another level. Now they have an added pass rusher. Joe Flacco just needs to take care of the football.
Timeout.
What?
Timeout. This is not Plug Your Friends Day on your first day NFL Live.
I'm just saying.
This is not, well, that never stopped.
But it makes sense.
We came in together.
It makes sense.
We're so tight. My homeboy went over there, and it changed the team.
But it was in context.
It did, though.
Oh,
they won a Super Bowl.
Gosh.
Shefty.
They won a Super Bowl.
Tell us about Emmanuel Sanders.
Sanders, who tore his Achilles December 5th in a practice and hasn't played in the game since then, is going to play tonight. Not only play, he's going to start. They're going to introduce him with the starting lineup. So I think that'll be an emotional moment there for the Broncos and for Emmanuel Sanders, who's made his way back from this torn Achilles.
I love E, man. Excited he gets to come back, and that's going to be huge for Joe Flacco as well. We're not used to seeing guys his size, guys dominate the way that he has, not necessarily having the quote-unquote measurables. And I think that goes to his work ethic and goes to what type of player Antonio Brown is.
In your opinion, Marcus, if you were making the call, is the production worth the drama, in your opinion?
Can you say hell yeah on this show?
You can say hell yeah on this show.
Hell yeah.
I just did.
Look, the NFL has always been a bottom line business. The NFL really boils down to production. That's why we see Josh Gordon getting another shot with the New England Patriots. Special guys get special privileges. And Antonio Brown is in that narrative. As crazy and as outlandish as his actions have been since Pittsburgh last year, and even so leading up to today when we talk about the situation in Oakland, Antonio Brown is prolific. And when you're prolific, it buys you a lot more time than most guys have an opportunity to have.
It's the reason that Oakland was willing to give him $30 more million in guaranteed money. And it's the reason that Mike Mayock basically read him the Riot Act yesterday without taking action and doing anything. Because if it was any lesser player, they would have moved on from him already. Yeah, I think but because he's so good and so important, they want him around.
It's also about perspective, right? When the Knicks, it's no wonder that when he was looking for trade partners, the Oakland Raiders became a team that wanted him. Right. Because you're trying to move up. You're trying to get to a different level than you're at. And so for that, you'll deal with some of the drama. You'll deal with some of the other things because of the historic production he brings. It's not just that he's prolific. He's historically great. When you look at those numbers and some of the names on that list, we've never seen a wide receiver be this productive ever. Not even just his era, ever in life. And those are things that make you say, you know what? Oh, yeah, I'll deal with that. Oh, yeah, I'll deal with this. As long as it's not tearing my locker room up right now, I'll deal with it. I'll try to fix it as much as I can. You heard Mike Mayock say, we've exhausted everything we can in trying to get this helmet. You better believe they're going to exhaust every single avenue they possibly can to keep him on the team and get him on the field.
Well, and for perspective, and to your point, why it was Oakland, perhaps, the Raiders have had one 100-catch season in the history of the franchise. AB has done that six straight years. It is a departure from what they've been able to do. As we make our way toward the third preseason game of the preseason, the quarterback competition of sorts continues in Miami, although new head coach Brian Flores says that Ryan Fitzpatrick will start week three. That is Thursday night for the Dolphins. He also pointed out, though, not to read anything into that. But at this point, it will be Fitz who makes the start. Shefton.
Well, in the old modern day, if you started the third preseason game, that meant you had the inside track to start the regular season opener. I think we've entered a time here where I don't know if that matters as much. And I think we're making a lot of noise and discussion about the Dolphins quarterback situation when in reality, I don't know that it matters that much. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the favorite to open up as the Dolphins starting quarterback when the season begins. And I think everybody here would agree that at some point, relatively early, he's going to have one of those games where he throws multi-interceptions, three or four picks. And when he does, Josh Rosen's going to get his turn to start. They're both going to start this year. If Ryan Fitzpatrick goes through the full year and starts 16 games, I think all of us would consider that an upset in Miami. None of us expected to happen. So I think Fitzpatrick right now is the logical starter. We'll see how long he gets. The better he plays, the longer he'll remain as the starter. But at some point, Ryan Fitzpatrick will be Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen will get a chance.
Yeah, we'll see six touchdowns in one game and four interceptions the next, it seems like. That's what we've seen.
Hey, it's magic.
It's Fitzmagic. Jets fans will have to wait until the regular season opener, it appears, to see their new running back, Le'Veon Bell. Coach Adam Gase said Sunday night he will not play in the preseason. The Jets face the Saints Saturday at MetLife Stadium. That's preseason game number three. Then they'll wrap up the preseason against the Eagles at home on August 29th. Bell will eventually take the field this year. That means the countdown is almost over. It has been 582 days and counting since Bell's Steelers lost to the Jags in the AFC divisional round. That's the last time he played a real game in the NFL. That streak should end on September 8th when the Jets host the Bills. So I'll say this on Overreaction Monday. Le'Veon Bell, Shefty, needs to play in the preseason. Actually, I apologize. I'll let Marcus go first.
That is not an overreaction. And the reason being is because you want Le'Veon Bell to get hits. You want him to be hit before the first regular season game. He doesn't have a history of fumbling. We know how good he is at playing the running back position. But the physicality of an NFL season is a grind. And sometimes you got to condition your body to take the hits that you are going to receive, especially playing running back.
This has went from the happiest day of my TV life to the saddest.
Really? All in one fell swoop?
All in one day. I never thought that I would disagree with a friend so much and so many times in 37 minutes. This is an overreaction, and it is one of the largest overreactions we've ever had.
History of overreaction Monday, Mark.
Listen, he plays a position, right? He plays a position where we always say when you draft running backs, you know these guys can come right in and play because it's a position that translates. These guys have a feel for the position. Le'Veon Bell has shown you he can do it in this league, and he can do it at the highest level. Not
damn
just high,
2 years ago.
The highest level. But the reason Le'Veon Bell sat out was because he didn't want to incur any more hits before he got his money. So yeah, right, let's trot him out in the preseason and take these hits when it doesn't matter. Have you ever been hit before?
A lot.
Have you forgotten what it feels like to be hit?
No.
Okay, him neither. And you got hit way longer ago than he did. So I'm setting you up for that one. So change your answer.
But it still don't matter. It still doesn't matter.
What matters
is the fact that Le'Veon Bell is going to be thrust into fire that he hadn't been in a long time. I don't care how good you are, bro. You sit out almost 2 years from the NFL. You need to see what that feels like.
Jamie Lannister got his hand cut off and was thrust back into the fight in Game of Thrones.
He had no choice. He had to save Cersei.
By the time he was,
I'm glad I got Shefty here this time.
But to that point, Ryan, like, I'm a big proponent of players never ever playing in the preseason. Right. I played D-line. We should never play. The preseason should be ousted until the regular season starts.
Exactly. You're just making my point, Marcus.
No, I'm not making your point. With that being said, I understood why I needed to get conditioned to what the physicality
would be. Because you played a different position.
Yeah, Ryan, but I didn't take 2 years off.
Le'Veon Bell, 2 years.
Thank you.
Has been in Florida training around the clock. He has not been hit, but he spent his lifetime being hit. He knows exactly what it's like to be hit. And hold on.
But why don't they pay guys to play 707?
Kid him, Ladder.
Adrian Peterson never played in the preseason. Todd Gurley doesn't play in the preseason. All the big running backs, they don't play in the preseason.
Did they sit out almost 2 years?
Boy, I have never been more happy to be on a show with Latham. Am I off my rocker?
No, I don't think you're off your rocker.
I think you get a demerit for being a sore winner over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you go.
Absolutely.
He gets a timeout. I think it's been a minute. No contact. But he's been bumped around at practice,
Marcus. Exactly. You don't have to get put to the
ground. Well, you know what it's like to be studded
or to be thumped. He's a guy that's never had ball security issues. He's a guy that understands the position. And I was with him in his first year where he missed some games early. And as soon as we got him back against the Baltimore Ravens, he was rolling. So I believe Le'Veon Bell will be fine.
Y'all right. Listen, Le'Veon had a league high 406 catches.
We're keeping him when he last played in 2017.
That's how it goes, yeah, sometimes.
Last play.
Press coverage
is going to get me out of this jam. It comes from our ESPN reporter, Rob Domofsky. The GM for the Packers said the plan is still to play Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night in Winnipeg.
Hell no, Wendy. Don't nobody need to play.
You don't need Aaron Rodgers. He don't need to play either.
By the way,
I'm not sure he needs to play there.
Back tightness is the most convenient preseason injury.
I got it next week.
Yeah, you can't.
Until Labor Day, my back is tight. Well, as the Cowboys begin week three of their preseason in advance of their matchup with the Texans, they do so and continue to do so without Ezekiel Elliott. The Cowboys star running back will continue to hold out in an effort to secure a new deal. Here is Jerry Jones.
He's got you on camera.
We're having some fun.
And this just a few moments ago from our Chris Mortensen. It may have drawn a few laughs, but neither Ezekiel Elliott nor his agent, Rocky Arsenault, found that Jerry Jones quip, Zeke who, as amusing. Arsenault said, I didn't think it was funny, and neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful.
And I think there's a point here, right? When you're in holdouts and you're talking about another man's business and his livelihood, and he's been away from training camp all summer, and he may not be happy with the way things are going, there are certain things you just don't joke around about. Yeah. Now, Jerry Jones thought it was funny. The reporter obviously thought it was very funny.
He thought it was way too funny.
Very funny. But the fact of the matter is it involves another man's business. And just like I think teammates shouldn't be talking about other players' contracts, I don't think sometimes that you should make light of players when they're not in camp and don't have the extension that they're seeking. Just pretty simple. And it also goes to show you how sensitive these things are. Mm-hmm. Just think back to last year when Le'Veon Bell was out of camp and the Steelers offensive line was asked about it. And they lit into him pretty good. And I think that muddied the waters and decreased the chances that he came back. So every little statement you make gets interpreted a certain way. Phillip Rivers, or there's something about Melvin Gordon saying, hey, we want him here, we love him, but we can win without him. Something to that effect, okay? Melvin Gordon, a little bit insulted by that.
Yeah.
So anything you say about another man who's not in camp, who's looking for a new contract, can be taken the wrong way and complicate the situation.
If you've ever been in negotiations with these people, unless you're a guy like Michael Thomas, who they already knew they were going to give a certain amount of money to, what they're telling you during these negotiations is why you can't get what you want, right? It's, we don't think you're as valuable as Todd Gurley, or Todd Gurley got hurt and Dak is more, just whatever's being said. And I'm not saying that's what's being said, but those things begin to sound personal. They begin to be taken as personal. And so when you have all these feelings already that are negative because you're not getting the extension you want, and then you see another man who you're involved in these negotiations with laughing, and then laughing with other people who aren't your people, you definitely take it a certain way, and they seem to have taken it as disrespectful.
Well, I think the optics, Marcus, I'm sorry, you know, the laughter back and forth, kind of, it just doesn't, it doesn't feel great, I think, when there's the laughter. Oh, right. You're not there, and you're, you know.
Come on, y'all.
You know it better than
come
everybody.
On now. What the hell are we talking about? I mean, it was a joke. It was a joke, and it's a joke coming from a guy that's actually going to write you the check, right? I took it as these negotiations were probably going pretty well, because for Jerry Jones to joke around about it, he could be in a contentious position as well. Mm-hmm. He could be pissed off that Zeke is in Cabo and not at training camp and could be saying all kind of crazy stuff. So Zeke and his agent being upset about a joke that Jerry Jones made, to me, seems a little bit
backwards. But they're entitled to feel that way.
It's fine. I'm not saying that they shouldn't feel that way, but let's be real.
Spears, it's the difference between here's the difference, right? It's the difference between being in these negotiations, and you say Jerry Jones might be in a contentious spot. He's not, because they're worth $5 billion. If you're Ezekiel Elliott, you want your money, you understand the running back market, you understand how easily this career could be gone, and so it's a different feel.
Absolutely.
And I agree with Adam. We can't tell him to not be disrespected.
I'm not telling Zeke how to feel, and I'm not telling his agent how to feel. What I am saying is, when I'm in a contract negotiation and everything is contentious and everything is have we heard the Chargers joke about Melvin Gordon contract? Hell no, because they ain't giving him one. I'm telling you that when I heard this from Jerry Jones, my first initial thought was, this is a general manager and the brass in the front office of the Cowboys having conversations with Zeke and his agent. I agree. Now that this has come out, this surprises me that this bothers Zeke and his agent like it did. It surprises me. I hope it ain't a play to get more money, but it surprises me that this affected them that way. I thought Jerry was joking because these conversations were going well.
Well, you could see that obviously it struck a chord with Rocky Arsenault, the agent, as he told Chris Mortensen, and basically said, I didn't appreciate it, and Zeke didn't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And again, you could think that negotiations are going well, but again, everybody's got their own little stance.
Well, you know the negotiations way better than I do, Shefty.
Well,
I just know if we fighting in the dark, ain't nobody making no jokes in the light.
I just think the other thing, though, about Jerry Jones is why wouldn't he? Because even if you can't get Zeke in, even if you feel like it's slipping away that we can't win. I watched you and Stephen A. have a conversation about the Cowboys, which is perfect. They have been more than average for decades now, and they're still worth more money. You know why?
Absolutely.
Because Jerry keeps them relevant. So for Jerry Jones, not having this deal done is not the same thing like Zeke saying, I'm trying to change my family's life by getting this deal, and I need it now. It's a different feel on each side.
All right, week 3 of the preseason, they will play the third preseason game.
Why? Because you want people to practice and play in the preseason, and people can't laugh at a joke.
Soft, man.
I hear you.
Ryan was
no
a big
crying in football,
in
Ryan.
Nice.
All right, look, the Patriots are looking forward to stay welcoming the season of Josh Gordon back to the team after he was conditionally reinstated by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on Friday. Gordon is back in New England, but now remains on the non-football injury list. Here's the head coach.
Have you had a chance to meet with Josh Gordon this morning?
I meet with the players every day.
Being good spirits and excited about his opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I'll release a statement on that. I have nothing to add to it. That's where we're at. Did you get a copy of the statement?
I saw it on Twitter, but it's been a couple.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. I mean, I don't do my face, but I mean, we're happy to give you a copy of it. It's really, that's where I'm at. It's another line of questioning, or are we going to... Or can a witness step down now?
Round and round we go. Whether Belichick wants to admit it or not, Josh Gordon, easily the Patriots' most effective deep threat last season. Brady averaged over 10 yards per attempt when targeting Gordon, nearly 3 more yards than any other player. And even though the Patriots won it all without Josh Gordon, they scored 5 more points per game in contests where he was on the field. Here's Michael Reese.
Josh Gordon is here at the Patriots facility. He made a brief appearance in the locker room this afternoon when reporters were present. His locker is right next to 38-year-old tight end Benjamin Watson, Tom Brady's locker just 2 away. Players were excited to welcome Gordon back into the fold.
It looks good. I mean, it was like I said before, it was refreshing to see him. I mean, when you don't see somebody, one of your brothers in a long time, and you see him, it's definitely refreshing. We love Josh. I love Josh, and I'm just glad to have him back.
Yeah, you know, Josh is a great teammate. We're glad to have him back.
You know, he's a great player, great guy, and, you know, it's a pleasure to see him around again. You know, of course, we're all rooting for him and, you know, hoping he does well. And, you know, he's a great addition for our team, great player, and a great guy to have around.
He's a physical specimen. We all know that. And, even for what he did last year, I mean, he helped his team out a lot. And we're definitely hoping that he can come back and do the same.
As for how Gordon's arrival affects the Patriots' wide receiver core, I asked Bill Belichick what he's noticed from the group to this point, and he said there's been several receivers that haven't been on the field yet. Now that includes Gordon, and he summed it up this way, to be determined.
Well, by this time, Colt McCoy had hoped to be in the middle of a 3-man competition to be his team's starting quarterback, but the right leg that was supposed to have healed after 3 off-season surgeries is unfortunately not quite there yet. It's forced McCoy to miss the team's first 2 preseason games. It has left his health for the start of the regular season in question. Adam, I guess I would start with you in terms of any additional information on his health.
Well, listen, Jay Gruden yesterday said that he doesn't know when Colt McCoy is going to be back from the broken leg that he suffered last year. They said it could be 2 to 3 weeks into the season. They don't know. Hasn't practiced on a regular basis here at all. So it obviously appears that Colt McCoy is not physically ready for the season. Dwayne Haskins is a rookie. He's their quarterback of the future. They have a lot of faith and confidence in him, but not in starting the opener, not in rushing him along. So if Dwayne Haskins isn't ready and Colt McCoy isn't physically ready, then by the process of elimination, Case Keenum has to be the guy that's tracking to start the regular season opener against the Philadelphia Eagles only because there is not another viable option at this moment. Dwayne Haskins at some point this season could be ready to start. It's just not going to be week 1 against the Eagles.
Well, we'll take it from there then on Overreaction Monday, and I'll add should to the equation. Dwayne Haskins should be the week 1 starter. Marcus, is that, in your opinion, an overreaction or no?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
You look sad about it.
But I say this with a little reluctancy because I sat on Get Up a month ago and said Dwayne Haskins is going to start week 1.
That's all right. We won't hold it against you.
So here's the issue, and this is why the preseason is important when you talk about rookie quarterbacks, especially when you give them time against competition that they'll see as the season progresses. His lows are very low. You want to see that uptrend. Maybe not great, but don't be the guy that gives me a touchdown and then 2 picks or misses a protection or gets us into a bad situation with the play, with a play call. So I think right now from a processing standpoint, his talent is there. We see it on throws that he has all of the talent to do what he needs to do, but his lows are very low right now. And Gruden can't afford to have that happen to him this year.
Time is ticking.
Yeah.
I believe
it's an overreaction as well. And it's the Jay Gruden piece that makes it an overreaction for me. You kind of know what you're going to get with Case Keenum. Obviously, his ceiling isn't very high, especially compared to Dwayne Haskins. But you expect him to be able to make veteran plays, to make veteran checks in the huddle. And Jay Gruden needs someone that can hold this ship tight. I think defensively, this team is going to be good this year. They've gathered some new pieces. They had guys who could rush the passer last year. You add Landon Collins at the safety position. So you're going to be good defensively. You have a nice stable of running backs. Yep. So you'll have an opportunity to win games if you don't turn the ball over and don't make huge mistakes. And that's what you hope Case Keenum can do early on until Dwayne Haskins is probably ready later on in the season.
Well, RG3, the only Redskins rookie quarterback since the merger to start the team's season opener. All right, since we're talking about injuries, at least with regard to Colt McCoy, let me ask you about a few others, Adam, and starting with Andrew Luck.
Well, you heard Mort last week say there was, quote-unquote, guarded optimism that Luck was going to be able to play in the regular season opener against the Los Angeles Chargers. And if you watch the replays of him on Saturday pregame, he certainly looked like he was tracking to be ready in the opener.
All right, how about Derwin James?
3 to 4 month surgery. He's going to undergo that surgery this week on a screw in his foot that already was in there at this point in time. They're going to take out the screw, hoping to have him back for a postseason push. The player thinks he can come back sooner than that. But again, you're talking about surgery, not simple, major loss.
And finally, DK Metcalf.
He's going to undergo knee surgery, Pete Carroll said after the game last night. They don't believe he's going to miss a lot of time. They think that he could be back for week one, although that seems a little bit ambitious at this point in time. It is August 19th, but again, Seahawks think that that is possible.
And finally, Mike Evans.
Not overly concerned in Tampa. Not practicing today. Don't think they had big preseason plans from anywhere. Won't be surprised if we don't see him play at all this preseason, but Mike Evans is expected to be ready for the 49ers in the regular season opener.
Meanwhile, in Oakland, the question remains, is Antonio Brown all in or all out? He was all out at practice on Sunday, but he was back with the team for meetings today. Sunday's absence prompted Mike Mayock to say he needed his new star wide receiver to be all in or out, as the other players were. Overreaction Monday continues with this. AB is the Raiders' most important player, Ryan.
This is not an overreaction, and I know there's probably going to be some disagreement here because it's going to be like, how can a player who's never played for the team be the most important? He's the most important because when it was time to sit up there and introduce him, your coach glowed about the way that he worked and the things that he could bring to this team. He's the most important player because he's the guy that you brought in so you can further evaluate if Derek Carr is your franchise quarterback. He's also the person that you expect to put butts in the seats because of what he can do on the field. And so for me, Antonio Brown is going to be the guy that makes this go or breaks it down because of the way that he behaves off the field. But make no mistake about it, there is no other player on the team that could behave how Antonio Brown is behaving right now and the team put up with it, and that's Derek Carr included.
He is their best player, but he's not their most important player. Their most important player in a quarterback league is the quarterback to start with. Then, on an offense that's going to run the ball an awful lot, that drafted Josh Jacobs in the first round, used a first-round pick on a running back, he might be more important than Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is their best player, RC, but let's not confuse best with important. There's a difference here.
That is very literal, Adam.
What? Going to White House?
Who the hell is the quarterback not the most important player on the football team? How do you justify saying that to me right now, Ryan Clark? The guy that touches the ball. Listen, foundationally, Derek Carr will be the most important player. Look, I understand all of that about selling tickets and putting buttons in the seat, and they moving to Las Vegas. They got the big show and AB. Let Derek Carr go out here and miss AB on a couple of passes.
No matter who starts quarterback for any team, he's the most important player.
No.
That's what Marcus is saying.
Yeah.
Not any
That's a lot.
Yeah.
See, that's
generally speaking.
I don't give a hell what justification you got. He's touching the ball every offensive snap.
So why can't the center be the most important player then?
Because the center is not controlling distribution of the football.
Marcus, because you're wrong.
Dude, listen.
You know what? From now on, I hope every other person is right here with Alabama. I hope every other person that they bring in for their first day play for Alabama. You play for Nick Saban. But it was at LSU, and you were wrong.
Let me give you something.
That is what I want.
No,
that is what I want.
The day the day, Miss Wendy Nix,
yes,
I'm going to call
sir.
You your whole
okay.
name like Ryan does,
okay.
that the quarterback ain't the most important player on your football team, your whole damn crew going to be looking for a new job.
And listen, that's the point here. If you look at this team last year, the way that Derek Carr was treated to the media, right, I've been around teams who value their quarterback, who feel they have a franchise guy. You don't call that guy out post-game. You don't do the things and embarrass
well,
him and disrespect.
Well, we know John Gruden does things a
little differently
than these other coaches.
You know why? Because first off, John Gruden has never developed a quarterback.
Well,
he's never drafted a guy and developed him, and he's never waited on one either.
That's right.
That's because of TV, because he's good on TV.
He's good on
that
TV.
That wasn't
so
because he
you.
Developed quarterbacks.
So
we're going to let this go. Player in Oakland,
I agree. All right. The Raiders haven't had a player catch 10 touchdowns.
I can't wait till Julio Jones
retires
so I can work with him.
Matt Ryan ain't have to fight for a contract.
What?
Julio did. Matt Ryan is the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep,
he ain't have to have a contract dispute to get
Marcus,
paid. Julio did.
Marcus, because Matt Ryan on that team is the most important. We're talking about this team, Marcus.
Derek Carr,
he's
most
not.
Important.
We're going to get a drink.
Sorry,
let's go.
Derek Carr, the most important.
All right, fair enough. Last word. We got week 2 preseason.
Is this show almost over?
We start a new tradition today. Your first day, you get like the last 30 seconds.
Go on, tell us what you want to talk about, man.
I want to take a stand on these dang on quarterbacks getting outside the pocket, all right?
Okay.
Because it's really starting to piss me off because you don't
Preach
know.
It.
Here's the issue for a defender, and you know this as well as anybody as a safety, having to come up and meet these guys. I don't know what he's thinking. He don't know what I'm thinking, right? As soon as he starts to dive, he don't know if I was already planning to hit him low so I don't get fined for a head and neck area hit.
Listen.
So now when you go
really
low,
mad.
When you go low, and I'm already coming with
seconds,
the mentality
Marcus.
To hit you low, we bang heads and now everybody want me out of the league.
Believe it or not,
back
the
tomorrow.
Four of us are back tomorrow. Goodbye.